Was there ever a doubt? Never, right? 9 in a row for Buffalo. The shootout tonight. It lasted a while, 7 rounds deep. Sam Reinhart ends up getting the game winner. Buffalo 3, Detroit 2, the final. 9 in a row in the victory column. 34 points. Number one team in the National Hockey League. Okay. We welcome you inside our Amherst studios. I'm Brian Koziel. Another way this team figures it out. The latest hero is Sam Reinhart. He gets it done in the shootout. Tage Thompson, by the way, in the shootout. Yeah, that was a nice move as well. And Linus Allmark was tremendous in the shootout and in the game. Stopped a couple of breakaways in the game. Stopped 6 of 7 Detroit attempts in the shootout. And the Sabres win their 9th in a row by a score of 3-2. So we welcome you to the Paul William Belt Sabres postgame show. Feel free to jump on board. The local number in Buffalo, 803-0550. Let's start again. 803-0550. Or toll free, 1-888-550-2550. No matter how you're listening around the world, this is pretty exciting. Yes, the Sabres are the number one team in the National Hockey League. 34 points, a 16-6-2 record, 9 in a row. No one in the league right now has more points. Tampa and Nashville have 33. They are not playing today, so at the very least, you can go to bed and know that the Sabres, when you wake up, will still be first in the NHL. Coming up here on the postgame, we'll be heading to the Sabres dressing room in just a few moments in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. Paul Hamilton is on his way there now. We'll get player reaction from, sure, a very happy Sabres dressing room. We'll also have Phil Housley's live postgame comments when he meets with Paul and the rest of the media there in Detroit. We'll take you there for that live. As we said, your phone calls are welcome at 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. We'll run you through the highlights, necessary stats, update you on the rest of the day in the NHL and the standings, which I just did. Yes, they're number one. Go to whatever your favorite hockey website is, click on standings, and the Sabres are on top. You can pick league, you can pick conference, you can pick division. It doesn't matter. It won't change. They are on top of the entire NHL. And I think back to my discussion on opening night after the Sabres got blasted at the hands of the Boston Bruins and lost that game 4-0 and sounded exactly like the same team that they have been for the past 2 to 3 seasons and said the exact same thing about coming ready to play and not sticking to the game plan and having to believe in what Phil Housley says and actually executing it, blah, 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 blah. And now to think where we are here right now, 23 games later. Amazing that they are on top of the NHL. And tonight, Linus Allmark was excellent. I thought the goal that he lets in right away to Larkin to start the second period was a bad one. But the rest of the game, he was superb. Stopping multiple breakaways, stopping, I thought, maybe the biggest moment of the game when Eichel turns over the puck and he comes up stopping Detroit's arguably their best player in Larkin on a breakaway. And then when the puck goes down into the Detroit end, Tage Thompson ends up getting the blast one-timer on a beautiful play from Rasmus Dahlin. That could have very easily been 2-1 Detroit. Instead, a big save, back down the other way, play plays out, and eventually it's 2-1 Buffalo. That was a big swing there. And then, you know, he makes the big glove save on Daly with seconds to go in the OT, and then in the shootout, stopping 6 of 7. All right, one of the heroes tonight was Tage Thompson. He's up first live in Detroit with Paul Hamill.
Tage, you guys pulled it off again. First of all, talk about your goal, how Rasmus Dahlin got it in your wheelhouse, and just the blast.
Yeah, it was a perfect pass, and I got high stick probably 10, 15 seconds before that, so I was pretty mad and just kind of put all my weight into it, and I was pretty happy when it went in.
Can you shoot any harder than that?
I don't know. I think I put everything I had into that one.
The fact that he'd seen your shot play into your decision on the shootout there?
Yeah, I saw, you know, the first few guys go in there. They're going in shooting, so I figured I'd mix it up and try to deke. And I think he wasn't ready for it. So
Phil said he's been seeing you get better every game. Have you felt that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's pretty easy right now with the way the team's playing. I think the team's having great success, and when that happens, you know, your individual success goes up as well. So it's just focusing on helping the team in any way possible.
Coach, how much of it is Phil Housley putting you on the left wing? It seems like ever since he's done that, you've kind of flourished. Has that really helped you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it at all. I've played both wings growing up, played center growing up, so you know, I'm comfortable in whatever spot there. So a lot of it's just things I've been working on after practice with the coaches, picking up pucks off wall and stuff like that. I think is why I'm being a little more successful now.
Before your goal in the third, how much was Linus's save kind of just the momentum shift? I mean, he stops that, you know, Larkin on the breakaway, and you guys come right back down. And
that was huge. I mean, Linus played, stood on his head today. You know, not only in the shootout, but in the game, like you said there, that the breakaway save was huge. I think everyone was up on the bench after that one. He bailed us out a lot over time, made some big saves too. So. I think when your goalie makes big saves like that, it just gives you an energy boost.
Nine wins in overtime last night. Yesterday you win shootout today. Is there just an inner confidence in this room that you're going to find a way?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, if you're able to come into the locker room in between periods and, you know, see the attitude and the way we're feeling is it's pretty relaxed, pretty calm. I think, you know, we've been in the situation obviously a few times before. So I think there's everyone's playing confident right now.
Tage Thompson on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Tage Thompson, how about that move in the shootout? It went so hard with so much speed, and then, you know, you and I could have tapped it in. That was how much space he created into the empty net. And, of course, the goal in regulation. An absolute bullet. And give credit to Dahlin, as he mentioned there. Absolutely a perfect pass. Okay, let's go back now. Who do we have next?
Jack Eichel.
Let's go to Jack Eichel here live in Detroit.
And wait until you guys can do it, and it worked for you again.
Yeah, I think just during this streak, you can look at it and see how many different heroes we've had or guys stepping up in key situations. I mean, you know, you got Tomer went out for a shootout, and, you know, he puts an incredible move on and, you know, keeps the game going. You got, you know, Linus stepping in and playing out of his mind, making some huge saves, bailing me out and bailing us out a few times. You know, can't say enough about him. You know, and we just, you know, we find a way to get 2 points again. It was great. I think that's kind of been the MO of us recently, and I think just the mindset we have going into a third period is, you know, we're just going to wear them down, and, you know, if it doesn't work in the, you know, first five, or you know, if it takes the full 20 or 25 or a shootout, you know, so be it. And it's a credit to everyone in the room for committing to you know, to the game plan and just sticking with it for, you know, as much as we can.
You can really admire Tage Thompson's goal because you can blast it yourself.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that might have been one of the hardest shots I've seen. I mean, he got – I don't know if he could shoot it any harder.
No, I mean, you know, Tomer's got a bomb. And, you know, it's a great shot. I mean, back across the green under the bar, it's, you know, that's a goal scorer's goal. And it was awesome to see him get rewarded. I think he's been playing great the last few nights.
What does it mean with Rasmus Dahlin? Because he put it right in his wheelhouse, and that's not the first time we've seen Rasmus do that. We see him do it a lot.
No, I mean, you know, I mean, it's not at any bit surprising. I mean, he puts it on a tee for Tomer, and you know, Tomer blasts it home. And you know, Ras played great tonight, and the decor stepped up, made some huge plays for us, and it's just a good team effort.
Is it a mark of a good team, though, Jack, that you guys bail each other out? One mistake. I mean, Linus gets you guys on two breakaways tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like you said, I think it's just the way I think it's just the way the group is right now. You know, somebody makes a mistake, someone's bailing them out, and you know, tonight it was our goalie a few times, and other guys making big plays, but you know, if somebody makes a mistake, no one's getting on them. I think you know, we stick together as a group, and I think that's you know, it says a lot about the guys in the room.
Early, but you're going to wake up tomorrow first place in the NHL. What's that feel like?
It's obviously it's early, right? And we want to keep this thing going, and we want to win as many games as we can. It's only November, but you know, just from where we've come from and the struggles the last few years and last year, and I just think that you know, everyone's really stepped up this year, and we've committed to you know, putting our best foot forward every day, trying to get better. And it's just it's a great feeling. Obviously, you know, we have a lot to accomplish still.
Thank you, Jack. Jack Eichel on the postgame. Linus Ullmark is here across the room, so let's just head on over there. Linus, are you a superstitious person? All your games except one have been on Saturday, and you've done pretty darn well. Are you a superstitious person?
Not really. I haven't really thought about that. I just go out there and play my game, and if it's on Sunday, Saturday, or whatever day it is, you got to go to work.
Talk about the last breakaway by Larkin with him coming down. It's a clean cut. You've had, what, three clean cut breakaways in that game. What goes through your mind as he's coming at you?
Stop the puck mostly. Keep my patience on my feet, and we'll take it from there.
Did you go out to see what that puck hit in the first period? That, I mean, it was going to go wide, and then it hit something in the ice, and you had to scramble your pad back. Did you go out and look to see what it hit?
No, probably it was just a bad ice out there. That you know, some stuff can happen. I couldn't have been unlucky that it bounced even more to the left. But it didn't, and I was able to recover.
How were you able to drag the pad across, just keep it there to make the save?
I mean, I was just lucky there. It's part of the game, you know. Nothing else was no skill. There was nothing. It was just pure luck.
Tage rips that shot. Have you had to see that in practice? How hard does he shoot it?
I got to eat my Voltaren and every now and then, just because he's ripping them past me, and it hits my glove sometimes. So I've been. He got a very good shot, and he's working on it every day. So he got rewarded today. It was awesome.
It's one of the biggest things about this team is how you guys can keep your patience. I mean, in some of these wins, including tonight, you guys had to be patient and wait until the opportunity came. Has that been a big part of this streak, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, most, yeah, I would say that. Patience is key in this type of game. You know, every team is good in this league. They're going to have their pushes. You got to stay strong whenever they come forward. We've been able to kind of limit their chances against and not have them score 3, 4, or 5 goals on us on a short notice or something like that. It kind of, we're keeping our momentum through it.
You came right back after the Larkin goal. I mean, to play goal in this league, do you just have to be able to do that?
Yeah. It's a great shot. It was a bad selection of saves for me. I should have that every night of the week. But he beat me today.
But you're right there afterwards. I mean, as a goaltender, you just have to let that go, don't you?
Yeah. No need to be too sulk over spilled milk, you know.
How much do you think this is confidence, and how much of it is just the group maturing together, this success?
Confidence plays a big part of it. So is the confidence in ourselves. I would say there's when you're winning, you feel good and everything, you know, there's no stress about it. But the thing is with us, we haven't really gotten those 6-1 wins all the time. So for us, it's been a battle all the way to the end. And that what keeps us down to earth, because we know this is a very tight league and you can't just go and glide on some pink clouds up there in the sky and think that you're going to win every night just because you have done it before. We go out there with a mindset to win. And we've been able to do it now.
This is a group, though, that a lot of these guys have grown together through a lot of rough times, and now you're enjoying the good times.
Yeah, yeah, we were, what do you say, we are reaping the fruit or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good? Okay. So it's never fun to be on a losing team. It's very tough, especially if you get a cutoff early in the season. Guys have been able to use that motivation and come back stronger every year, and now we're finally getting rewarded.
Thank you, Linus. Linus Allmark on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Thank you very much. There's the winning goaltender, Linus Allmark, with Paul Hamilton. Allmark was tremendous in this game. You know, one of the goals he lets in from Larkin, it's a bad goal, but as Paul and I were discussing during the second intermission, he never seems like, you know, he's letting these, you know, few goals that he's let in this season that you'd say are questionable bother him at all, because he comes back with a tremendous performance the rest of the way. All of our interviews, our blue and gold locker room reports, are brought to you by Fidelis Care, quality health coverage. It's our mission. Visit FideliscCare.org. 3-2, Buffalo victorious in the shootout. 9 wins in a row has Buffalo on top of the entire National Hockey League with their 34-point total, one better than Tampa, one better than Nashville. In the division itself, in the East, where it matters, the Sabres have 34, Tampa has 33, Toronto has 32. And no one can catch them tonight, as neither Tampa nor Nashville are playing. And Toronto has already won their game, so they're at 32. They won big tonight. We'll get a full update coming up with Pat here in just a few moments. Stick with us. Phil Housley moments away, as he'll be meeting with Paul Hamilton there coming up live from Detroit, so we'll be heading there in just a few moments. Final shot totals in the OT. Buffalo had 3. Detroit had 1. It ends 37-35. Power plays, well, special teams again playing a factor. Buffalo's penalty kill has been excellent. The Red Wings go 0 of 4, and the Sabres go 2 of 4 on the power play. So edge Buffalo special teams tonight. Linus Ullmark gets the win, 37 shots, 37 saves, and he went 6 of 7 in the shootout. Jimmy Howard takes the shootout loss in regulation and OT, 35 shots, 33 saves. He stopped 5 of the 7 Buffalo attempts in the shootout. Your 3 stars, Jeff Skinner from Buffalo continues to stay hot. He's up to 18 now on the season. He was the NHL leader during the game when he scored. Since then, Patrick Laine has passed him. He's star number 3. Jimmy Howard from Detroit in goal, star number 2. And Linus Ullmark in goal for Buffalo. He's star number 1. All right, let's go to the room. And here's Phil Housley now, live in Detroit.
Phil, patience paid off again for your hockey club. You had to wait through it, and it worked.
Well, I think, first of all, I have to give credit to our guys, and that's everybody that's played through the 6 games in 9 nights. It has been a grind, and the guys continue to find energy and ways to win hockey games. Obviously, I thought, you know, the special teams was going to play a more important role tonight. Their power play was 13th, their PK was 5th. And we won that war. I know they scored a goal at the end of the power play, but for the most part, we won that. You know, it wasn't pretty. It was sometimes sloppy, but we found a way to win. And I give a lot of credit to Linus because, you know, not only our goaltenders in general, but him tonight to make those huge breakaway saves was great for him and his confidence.
That shot by Tage Thompson, can he shoot it any harder?
I don't know. He got that off so quick, and it was tough for me to see on that angle, but the way he got it off and how quickly he got it off and how hard it was, I mean, and that's what he's been doing lately. He's been finding ways to get pucks to the net and using his speed, and, you know, good for him. I mean, he's really worked hard to put himself in that position.
Did the Red Wings maybe do a better job maybe challenging your D-men when they were trying to, you know, get the puck on net? It seemed like they were more active in trying to push you guys and pressure the blue line.
Well, I think a lot of that was just our management. You know, when we're on and we're making passes, you know, from board to board, we're on the tape and we're moving forward, and it was just ahead of us. It was just off, and they had a good they have a good transition game. They're fast, and when you allow them to use their speed, they're very dangerous.
There were 30 shots in the first period between the two teams. Did you feel maybe both teams were sloppy in the first period? It was fun hockey to watch, but do you think both teams were a little sloppy?
A little sloppy. I thought we controlled the first period. I think it was the second period that we got caught out on long and extended shifts because of our poor management. But I thought we had a really good first period, a really good start by our 17 shots, and that showed. But, you know, third period was one of those games where, you know, you just found a way to win, bring it in overtime.
Thanks, Coach. Phil Housley on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Coach Housley. Phil Housley's postgame comments brought to you by Paul William Belt, your power of attorney. Housley mentioning again Ullmark's incredible breakaway saves. Not only was he great there, you heard Eichel talk about bailing out teammates. I mean, that moment is huge where he makes that save after Eichel turns it over on the breakaway on Larkin, and then eventually it comes back into the Detroit end where Thompson ends up scoring. 6 of 7 in the shootout. Just said he was the number one star. Linus Ullmark tonight's our high-impact player of the game, brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance tonight at Little Caesars Arena, 19,515. The Sabres will next play at home Tuesday night at KeyBank Center. That is against the San Jose Sharks, 7 o'clock faceoff. You'll hear it right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Okay, for all of our local affiliate stations, we're going to say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. And for all of you on our flagship here in Buffalo on Sports Radio 550, more Paul William Belt's postgame coming up. Sabres do it again. 9 in a row in a shootout. 3-2 the final. Highlights coming up. More scores. The standings breakdown. Your phone calls are welcome at 803-0550 right after this timeout. Buffalo does it again. 3-2 the final. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
And it's still a run. knows that will shoot it into the Buffalo zone and get it back again down the left side. Working on Risto Lainen and hammers him down to the ice behind the net.
Dan Dunleavy on the call. Rasmus Risto Lainen with our Seneca Poker Deck of the Game, brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. 3-2, Buffalo has now won 9 in a row, number 1 in the National Hockey League, 34 points with the 3-2 victory. Brian Colziel here on the Paul William Belts postgame. Thanks for being with us. We'll update you on the standings in just a few moments. Also, we'll get Pat Malacaro's check of the night in the NHL, as well as college football, college basketball. It's a busy sports Saturday right here. We'll have it for you here coming up in just a few moments. Let's get you some of the highlights, though, from this one. As we pick it up early, 3:37 in, the red-hot Jeff Skinner continues to stay hot. He follows up Jack Eichel's shot for his 18th of the year and puts Buffalo on the board first.
Now up top for Ristolainen. Far side, Eichel's shot, rebound in front, scores! Skinner on the power play. And the power surge continues for number 53. It's 1-0 Buffalo early in the first.
Skinner's 18th for Eichel and Ristolainen. At that moment, Skinner led the NHL in goals, later to be passed by Patrick Laine. Pat will have more details on that in a moment. Eichel and Ristolainen, the assist, 1-0 Buffalo. The Sabres were 10-0-2 when scoring first, and now we know, of course, we can bump that up to 11-0-2 when scoring first. That was the score through one. Early second, Dylan Larkin scores from a bad angle, almost on the wall, for his 9th of the year. 53 seconds into the second. That tied things at one, and that's where we stood through 40 minutes. Now we go third period, and a big moment here. Eichel turns the puck over, and the very dangerous Dylan Larkin going in on a breakaway.
Eichel holds it. No shot there yet. A big crowd in front of the net. Eichel trying to turn away. It's taken away by Larkin, who's off to the races on a breakaway. Larkin against Ullmark, who makes the pad save. Robbery by Linus Ullmark, and we stay tied at one.
Big stoppage there for Ullmark to keep the game tied at one. It's our big moment of the game, brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. One of three breakaways, clean ones, that he stopped within the game. Later in that sequence, the puck goes back down into the Detroit end, and it's Rasmus Dahlin putting it up to Tage Thompson on a platter for a bullet and the Buffalo lead.
Here's Bogosian up top in the Red Wing zone. Thompson gives it back to the Sabres veteran defenseman. Now Dahlin for Thompson. One-timer scores! What a rocket! Tage Thompson, you talk about red hot.
Thompson is his third from Dahlin and Bogosian at 7:40. 2-1 Buffalo at that point. What a sequence there. Ullmark lets that goal in. It's 2-1 Detroit. Maybe the Thompson goal never comes. Instead, it's 2-1 Buffalo. Anthony Mantha, though, scoring in the third later at 13:52 as he taps in a shot from Bertuzzi just as their power play came to an end. McCabe was actually just stepping onto the ice, so an even strength goal. 2-2 is the score, and it ends up going into overtime. Buffalo with a power play, a lot of possession time, but could not get one past Howard. Ullmark makes a big glove save late on Daly with just seconds to go, and then it goes to a shootout. And in the seventh round of the shootout, it's Sam Reinhart's chance to be a hero.
Sam Reinhart, it's your turn. Sabres to win the game. Reinhart to the right circle, cuts it back and scores! Say hello to your first place, Buffalo Sabres!
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Reinhart underneath the bar, beating Howard to give Buffalo the win. 3-2 the final. All of your highlights delivered by Speed Global Services, around the corner or around the world. Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. Shot totals end up 37-35 Detroit. Special teams, Phil Housley mentioned it. It was big. The Sabres go 2-4 and kill off all four Detroit opportunities. They are 0-4 on the night. The three stars, Skinner, star number 3, Howard, star number 2, Ullmark, star number 1, in front of 19,515 in Detroit. Buffalo plays next against San Jose Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Pat Malacaro now here. He's going to give us the update in a few minutes.
That'll have some juice behind it Tuesday.
Tuesday night should be fun. The Thanksgiving weekend games were fun, and now they probably will continue to get fun. And then they're in Tampa coming up after that.
Yeah.
A team they just passed tonight.
Could be showdown for first place.
Pretty amazing, huh?
It is. Now, I'm one of those people that, you know, enjoy the ride, and whether it's good or bad or indifferent, we'll see where we're at the end of the season in terms of watching this team. But, I mean, there's no denying that they do it different ways. tonight after a bad goal. Allmark is able to make a couple of big saves. Even in the overtime, when it was 4-on-4, he had to make a couple of saves after Detroit got back to even strength. And tonight it was Allmark. Yesterday it was Skinner with a couple of goals, including overtime. And today Tage Thompson's one of the heroes.
That's right. Listen, credit the Sabres. And Paul said it in pregame, and I'll say it. You know, I thought they were handling Tage Thompson incorrectly with not playing him. And it's working. They've figured it out. Now he's playing and playing through it. And he still isn't perfect. But guess what? Linus Allmark wasn't perfect. He let in a bad goal, and he was great. And Rasmus Dahlin is not perfect. He makes mistakes, but he's come up big. And Jack Eichel made a mistake, and Allmark bailed him out. The team is coming through for each other, as Eichel said. And what I like, too, is that he says nobody's getting down on each other when they're making mistakes. They're just picking each other up, which is a good sign of a good team in any level.
For Thompson, part of his issues were he was trying to do too much in his first couple of games. But then you look at, after getting back in the lineup, he simplified things a little bit. You noticed he didn't try and make that extra play in the offensive zone, and whether it be getting the puck off his stick or getting in the right spot. He's doing those little things better than he was maybe earlier in the year, and I think that's a credit to him for working away from game action to get better.
If you'd like to join us here, it's 803-0550. Brian Colesiel now with Pat Malacaro here on our Paul William Belts postgame. Sabres win their 9th in a row. And yes, they're on top of the entire National Hockey League. Let's go to Samantha in Buffalo. Go ahead, Samantha. You're on the postgame.
Hi. I was just going to say that we love the Sabres. Oh, my God, 9 in a row is great. But I have a message for Rick Jenneret, and we have a new tagline. The Allmark Channel has a happy ending!
'Tis the season.
That's right. It is. All right, Samantha, thank you. We'll pass that along to Rick. Next, we go to Chris in Williamsville. Hi, Chris. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Brian. I just wanted to say I like how Phil has the team playing more of a loose positional hockey where the defensemen have the freedom to go down low. It's almost more like a basketball fluidity where there's less positional, they have this freedom, and it just is resulting in more forecheck and just more pressure in the offensive zone.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, it's noticeable. They seem to be playing a little more freer. That's why I think maybe we still are seeing mistakes here and there. But as long as they're picking each other up, like Eichel said, Pat, I don't really see it as a problem. You don't want to put handcuffs on guys that have talent.
One guy I've noticed a lot doing it from back to the offense is Bogosian. I think Zach Bogosian is played nicely in terms of, you know, breaking up a play in his own end and then start breaking out the rush towards the neutral zone. And those are things we haven't really seen consistently from some of the defensemen on the whole pretty much for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely been a part. I mean, they all have been a part of it. We could sit
even
here
bully you at times.
Yeah, I mean, we can go through every player that's been on this roster. And look at, even Housley was smart enough to mention that too. He said, tonight's not even about... He's like, it's even about the guys that didn't play. Everybody that played in the 6 and 9 game stretch here, six games and 9 day stretch. Like, look at Housley's pushing all the right buttons. Mm-hmm. Every time he does that little tinker with, is Reinhart going to play with Eichel and Skinner or is it Pominville? And within the game, sometimes it switches. It's worked every time. Just the little minor adjustments. We're going to put Ellie in tonight. Just fresh legs. And Ellie had some good moments. And maybe if you're playing a tired Zemgus Girgensons, maybe he makes a mistake that leads to a goal. Who knows? I mean, he's saying it's not even that, you know, this guy deserves to come out or this guy deserves to come in. It's just I want to keep everybody fresh with this stretch of this calendar that's been pretty tough. And Housley look at what he's done, too, with the goaltending situation. Mm-hmm. It seems as though finding the right spot to put in Allmark and give Hutton the break, like, it seems to be working. I think he's handling that great. I really haven't questioned it once. The only time we ever thought maybe it went out of line, Pat, was that opening 4-game sequence. And it was for a good reason. It was because Hutton was playing so great that he just kept him in.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about maybe players playing through mistakes and learning. Well, let's not forget Phil Housley was a first-year head coach. I know he was sort of the defensive leader of the Nashville coaching staff. But last year was his first year of being the head coach behind the bench. And he had to learn through some things and make some mistakes and learn how to deal with certain players in certain situations. And it looks like he himself has learned that into year two and to your point, has pushed pretty much all the right buttons.
And it came into a locker room that obviously was maybe not in the right mindset to listen to their coach.
Right. And that, again, changing over the roster, moving out some pieces, bringing some new voices and pieces into the room has definitely been something that Jason Bottrell, give him a lot of credit for.
803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Sabres next up play the Sharks after this 3-2 win. They've won 9 in a row. How about this stat? I saw Howard Simon just tweeted it out. The Sabres are 9-0-2 in one-goal games. They were pretty much like the opposite last year. They found a way to always lose in one-goal games.
Not just last year either.
Yeah.
Pretty much in the last handful of seasons.
They are finding a way to lose in a lot of these. All right, next to Brian is on the post game. Go ahead, Brian. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to say Omar stood on his head in the, not only in the second period late, but also in the third and overtime. And with the shootout looming, I was a little bit concerned. But when he was pulling lights out, they found a way to not only pull it out, but the way every single player on his team is finding a way to capitalize their chances, not only in the shootout, but just in general. And it's nice to see that.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Brian. It's great that it's a different person. It's great that they're all picking each other up. It seems to be just a belief. I don't even know if I would use the word swagger in any way, but they're having the, you know, don't worry, we're going to figure it out, and they are. This is in no comparisons of the talent or where it's heading, but it reminds me of just watching the Bills during the Super Bowl years of just that even when they weren't playing at their best or they didn't have it, you know, throughout, it always felt like, well, in the fourth quarter, they'll come back and win. They'll figure it out. And they always would in some capacity.
And they didn't change anything.
That's right.
That's something we've heard a common refrain from this team is they're not changing the way they play, even if they have a bad period. If they give up three in a period, they come back out the next one, and it's sticking to that game plan and not deviating, where maybe in the past everyone would try and do a little too much or try and blow up the game plan because it didn't work one period. Well, we're not seeing that this year, and it's resulting in wins.
Our Sabres core group feature, we look at the Sabres core group and see how they affected the game. Well, we always start with Jack Eichel. He picks up another assist. His point streak continues to look good over the course of the season. I know fans probably are thinking you'd like him to see score more, but he's contributing. As long as Jeff Skinner is scoring and Eichel's assisting, I know that, and Eichel himself has said, I'm fine with that, which is a good thing for a captain to say.
As long as that line is scoring. I mean, you would like Eichel to have more goals, but it's hard to argue with the output right now.
Yep. And another player that you mentioned was Bogosian, who contract-wise has been a part of this core. And he at times, again, he's not been perfect, but he's also contributing on both ends, which I think is nice because there was probably for a good deal of time last year, I didn't even know if we'd ever see Zach Bogosian contribute in a Sabre sweater ever again.
And I know I've said this before, but to me, he was one of the players that really I think Phil Housley could coach the most out of because he's got the offensive talent from defense that he can move up in the play. He can get things going, and we're starting to see a lot more of that now that Bogosian is healthy.
Absolutely. 803-0550. Let's get an update from Pat, and then we'll take some more phone calls here on the Sabres 3-2 victory, their ninth win in a row. Around the league, though, one more time, Pat catches you up here on all the NHL scores.
Yeah, just the late game still going on as Nathan MacKinnon has picked up his 15th of the season. Colorado with a 1-0 lead over Dallas. 3 minutes to go in the opening period. Vegas, 4 goals already against San Jose. The Sharks in action tonight. They trail Vegas 4-0, 3.5 to go in the opening period. Max Pacioretty, a pair of goals there. No score between the Kings and the Canucks in the first. This afternoon, Alex Ovechkin nets his 17th of the year. Capitals 5-3 winners over the Rangers. The Maple Leafs behind Garrett Sparks, a 34-save shutout, defeat the Flyers 6-0. Bruins 3, Canadiens 2, as Tuukka Rask gets the win. A third period goal for the Bruins was the difference there. It took overtime. The Blackhawks come back with 2 in the third. They get the overtime winner, and they defeat Florida 5-4. Islanders 4-1 winners over the Hurricanes, while the Penguins shut down the Blue Jackets 4-2 the final there. How about Patrick Laine tonight? 5 goals. He now leads the league with 19 overall in the season. 8-4 was the final. 5 goals for Patrick Laine in the victory for Winnipeg over St. Louis. Top 25 college football as number 2 Clemson opening up a 49-35 lead over South Carolina with just over a minute to go as Clemson heading into the ACC championship game undefeated in a top four playoff spot in college football. Number three, Notre Dame in a dogfight with USC. 14-10, the Fighting Irish leading the Trojans. A minute and a half to go in the third quarter. Notre Dame with the football there. Earlier today, Alabama rolls to a 52-21 win over Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Michigan's playoff hopes dashed. Ohio State's hopes still alive. They defeat Michigan today. Number 10 in the country, Buckeyes, 62-39 winners in the game. Also to local college basketball, where UB stays perfect on the season. Number 22 in the country scores a 76-49 win over Marist. And Niagara falls this afternoon as well to St. Francis. So Purple Eagles unfortunately fall on home court.
Thank you, Pat. 3-2, Sabres win in our game here on our broadcast. In the shootout, 9 straight wins. Let's take one more call here before we put a wrap on postgame. Let's go to Bobby next in the Falls. Hi, Bobby. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Brian. I think Thompson's quite a story. Maybe he must have known that, and then I have a question after my comment. He must have known that maybe he was on his way back to Rochester, and I know he's learning, and maybe he said to himself, look, I'm going to show these people what I've got, and I think that's terrific. And my question is, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but you talk about people who brought the locker room down last year. Was there other people besides O'Reilly that would have participated in that or that you would blame for that? And that's all I have to say. Thanks very much, Bri.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Bobby. Well, I'll agree with you about Thompson. I mean, I think what Pat said is right. I don't see him trying to be maybe as cute or trying to maybe do too much with it, because that has led to the turnovers. I mean, we haven't seen his patented toe drag that often. He's just playing simple hockey, but it works. I mean, going to the net, firing the shot, I mean, that's his strength. So for him to continue to do that, I think is a smart thing. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I love the Sabres tweet. Did you see that? The Drake reference there? It's Drake, right? I know you come to the Sabres postgame for pop culture knowledge.
I think it is. I don't want to. Don't quote me on it.
So a picture of the standings started at the bottom. Now we hear, right?
Yeah,
even said it right. Yeah,
did I say it? I said it right. I know the song. I was like 99% on Drake on that.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay,
just don't say the next line.
That's right. That's right. It is really a clever tweet, and it's true. Shows how far they have come. No doubt, on top of the National Hockey League, 34 points. Who would have thought that? Yeah, it's pretty amazing that this is where this team is at. And you just keep thinking, well, this is the night that it's going to end. And it just happens again, and it happens again. And you're like, well, it's okay. It's like, Pat, we're in here talking ourselves into, like, it's okay if this, when every time Larkin had an opportunity, I'm like, well, it's been a really nice run for them right now. And it's okay if this goes boom, and somehow back the other way it goes, and the Sabres are in the lead again.
Yeah, tonight was one of those nights where I didn't get the feeling that, all right, the goal is coming from the other side, but it just, I know I sat here telling you in the final 5 minutes, like, it just, to me, it felt like, all right, if it ends tonight, I mean, still 8 in a row is pretty darn good. And now they're going for 10 on Tuesday.
Chance for 10, that's right. By the way, our Sabres core group feature, didn't get a chance to tell you, it's brought to you by Corrigan Moving. For your next move, count on your core group of friends at Corrigan. All right, before we leave you here on the Paul William Belts postgame show, next up on the air, Joe, it's you at 7 in the morning, right?
Yeah, I'm the next local coverage here.
That's right.
7 a.m.
So, yes, you'll be talking fantasy football, but I'm guessing you'll have your 2 cents in on the Sabres, so I don't want you to blow your cover here, but you might have a little on it, right?
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult to not do that. They're the hot ticket. I mean, how can you not want to talk about them? So they'll be a little bit, at least.
Because you have the pulse of Buffalo sports fans on your mind tomorrow, is anybody tailgating tomorrow not going to be talking about the Sabres at their tailgate? Like, I mean, that is going to be the discussion, right?
That if I was at a tailgate tomorrow, the first thing, yes, like the thing I'd want to be talking about with buddies would be, wow, look at the Sabres.
That's right.
So yeah, absolutely.
And talking about everything. All right. So we'll looking forward to your fantasy knowledge. I did see that AJ Green on my team will not be playing. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's doubtful now. He's not going to play, though.
That's too bad.
That's going to be tough. The week after, he should be back, though.
This is the toughest week for me. In all three of my leagues, which is why I'm doing well, pat myself on the back here, I have Patrick Mahomes in all three of my leagues. I actually I'll give myself credit and say I kind of liked him this year.
Mm-hmm.
I had obviously had no clue it was going to turn out to be like that. So I have to play Paul Hamilton in our WGR league without Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah, late bye week.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Can't wait to hear the trash talk on Tuesday.
So insert Carson Wentz against the Giants. He has to have a good week at some point, right? He's been really bad.
I don't know. He's been weirdly inconsistent. I mean, last year you would have thought, oh, it'll just be kind of what he was before he got injured. And if you had him last week, you probably lost because he had like zero or
luckily,
one or something.
I did not play him because I had Mahomes in against the Rams.
That's a big difference.
That went okay.
That's a that's a very large difference between those two lists.
That Mahomes-Hill combo that I had against the Rams worked out for me. All right, so I'm going to be lame here, and I know you're not allowed to take fantasy questions until tomorrow at 7, but I'm going to give you one with my matchup with Paul Hamilton here. So this is very, very important for bragging rights, even though, as I will say, Paul is nowhere near in terms of catching me. I'm not concerned with that. But let me tell you about my lineup. Since I have no Mahomes, I have to go with Wentz, so there's no question there. And the people to pick up weren't. There's nobody really. You know, we're.
This is the league with very. You get like what, 6 moves a year? Anyway,
I'm not wasting a move when I have.
Right.
Wentz's can be play 1 week.
Giants are a good matchup.
That's right. That's right. That's what I thought. Okay, so Tyreek Hill is out.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you then is: my next like 3 receivers, I feel like are all the same, and I have to start 2 of them. I have 4 actually, 2 for 4 here. So Baldwin, Edelman, Landry, Tyrell Williams. At the moment, I have Tyrell Williams as the 4th and sitting. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
Yeah, I do. He's very boom or bust. He'll get you 0. He'll get you 30. Not much in between.
Baldwin seems to be heating up
a little bit,
and Edelman against the Jets. So I have those 2 in. I have Landry out, but I know at Cincy it's a decent matchup, but he's been kind of cold. I don't know, of those 3, if I said to pick 2, Baldwin, Edelman, or Landry?
My instinct was to go Edelman, Landry.
Okay.
But I have to, Landry is very close.
I can play all 3 and and take Breida out of flex.
I like Breida.
Breida at Tampa?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do that. They're starved for weapons, too. Marquise Goodwin's not going to play for them tomorrow.
Hold on. We might have
at this point, Brian.
Is Baldwin playing? ESPN is telling me Baldwin's projected to be 0 now. Could that be that he's out?
I'm contractually obligated to tell you this was a hockey show.
That's right. Coach Pete Carroll says it'll be a game time decision. Okay, so maybe the decision will be made for me tomorrow.
With that,
ESPN is projecting Baldwin to play 0, so they might know something that I don't know yet.
I didn't see this, and to be honest, even if he plays, I would not trust him. So I would go Landry. But I would definitively say Landry now.
Okay. Because
to me, that says he's had a little bit of a setback, that he's even a game-time decision, so he could just be like a decoy, and
that's
Pat's
right.
leaving.
That's
so.
Right. Pat is enjoying this fantasy discussion. Why are you leaving, Pat? Don't you want the last word in here? How's your fantasy season going?
Silence is golden.
That's what I thought. Okay. See, these guys, you know, you're supposed to play fantasy right to the end, no matter what your record is.
The only people that want to talk about fantasy are the people that are doing good in fantasy right now.
If I didn't have Patrick Mahomes, I would probably be like, I would have ended the show 5 minutes ago. But
right.
For those of you that are still listening, if you're enjoying this discussion, which apparently Pat's not, but for the rest of you that are, you should wake up tomorrow at 7 and tune into Joe, because he'll have a full hour of Sabres exciting talk and fantasy football talk.
The best part about that is, too, you can call in, you can ask your fantasy questions.
You can
and then,
do what I just did to you.
Right, and then when you lose, you can blame me. You don't have to blame yourself.
That's right. It's good to talk it out, though. You know, like we just did right there.
Right.
That helped me out. Pat, anything else? Still silence. All right. All right, so Joe is up at Joe, anybody with you tomorrow?
Yeah, Derek.
Derek's with you?
Yep.
So Derek Kramer tomorrow at 7. Game day at 8. Countdown to kickoff at 10. Jacksonville at Buffalo. At 1, and it's actually, I think, supposed to be decent weather if you're going. It's all like upper
mid-40s,
40s and sunny, so that should be nice.
No rain or anything.
That's right. This game could go either way tomorrow, but beating Doug Marrone would be really nice. Kind of maybe it puts the final nail in the coffin on Marrone's season.
St. Doug returns.
That's right.
It would be nice, too, to, you know, he might be on the hot seat. I don't think he's getting fired, but it would be cool if that you could kind of push him further in that direction.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to see him just be miserable on that sidelines. Like, if the Bills are just... There's no way the Bills are going to blow them out because they just can't. But
I mean, did we think they were going to blow the Vikings or the Jets out?
True.
Could happen.
Maybe Josh
they
Allen
don't,
has some magic.
They don't play close games. I will say that.
That's true. That's right. Okay, enough fantasy talk. Sabres win 3-2, and that, with the music, will put the official wrap on the Paul William Belt Sabres postgame show. Thanks to the crew in-house tonight. Joe DiBiase, our network producer, John Simon on our social media, Pat Malacaro, our anchor, John Koziel for bringing in all the other good stuff for us. Anybody else here in studio? Frank working well as well, down the hall. Big crew in here. Paul Hamilton, great work in Detroit. Our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. And for all of you who called and listened, thank you for listening. Final score again, 3-2 Buffalo at a shootout. I'm Brian Koziel. I'll talk to you again on Tuesday night from KeyBank Center with the Sabres and the Sharks right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.